Justin Smyth joins us today. He's at nextbigtrade.com, where he tracks global markets and underlying sectors using the stage analysis method developed by Stan Weinstein. We've spoken with Justin now on our program for many years, and especially about his extremely useful stage analysis screener, which you can use and play around with at nextbigtrade.com. So, Justin, before we get into the outlook on the broad market indices and then drill into some key sectors, let's start with covering the basics on stage analysis itself in terms of the four stages and what is used to determine when something transitions from one stage to the next.
Sure, Chris. So stage analysis is a trend following system that was created by Stan Weinstein in the late 1980s. It's comprised of four stages, and the 30-week moving average is the basis for determining what stage a stock is in. Starting out in stage one is a basing phase where the weekly price action is moving around the 30-week moving average. And if you can, picture this in your mind, the price action is moving sideways and so is the moving average. And then at some point, the stock price action starts to break out and move into an uptrend. And it does this with the 30-week moving average starting to move up as well. So it's trending above the moving average. That indicates stage two. So the stock is starting to move higher. And over a period of time, in a bull market, the stock will continue advancing above the moving average. But at some point, all bull markets end and the stock will eventually top out. And when it does that, it starts moving into the moving average again, moving sideways. And that indicates stage three, which is the topping phase again. And then finally, once a bear market starts, the weekly price action starts to move below the 30-week moving average and the moving average starts to go in a downward slope. And that's stage four. And then the stock is in a bear market at that point. So it's a really simple system to understand, whether a stock is moving higher in stage two or moving lower in stage four, or it could be simply in a consolidation phase in stage one or stage three. And there's simple rules to determine when you want to buy a breakout into stage two or perhaps short a breakdown into stage four. So those are the two key things to look out for on the chart. Is the stage two breakout or the stage four breakdown? And Stan Weinstein goes over a lot of different things you want to see along with the stage two breakout that we could also go into. But again, bottom line is it's a simple trend following system, and it makes it pretty easy to determine what you want to be doing with any individual stock in the market.
And if any of you aren't familiar with stage analysis, if this is the first time that you've heard about it, or if this is new to you, I am going to link out to some of the background and the key components of stage analysis. There's some visual charts and examples that Justin provides on his website. So if you want to just follow that link where this interview is posted, Financial Sense, you can go through some of this information. But basically, as you said, this is it's a longer term trend following system because it follows the 30-week moving average as that main line in the sand for determining which stage you're in. There's the four stages. And for the most part, it's very simple. But you can drill down in, like you said, Stan Weinstein has developed all sorts of different rules on breakouts or transitions from one place to the next. So you can get fairly sophisticated with it, but it is on the surface a fairly simple system. And when we talked with you earlier this year, applying the stage analysis method to the broad market, you had explained that we had clearly transitioned in 2022 from stage three, so a topping pattern around that 30-week moving average, to a very clearly defined stage four bear market, where the broad market indices were now trading below a declining 30-week moving average. Where do things stand today?
Yeah, that's a good overview of really what's happened over the last year and a half. Currently, the S&P 500 has rallied since early October and has come back into the 30-week moving average, but the 30-week moving average has barely flattened out to this point and is still kind of overall in a downward slope. So at this point, we could be entering stage one, which would be that basing phase again after a bear market, but also the price action could really just roll over here again and go back into stage four in this existing downtrend that we've been in since early this year. So it's kind of at a crossroads. There's quite a few stocks that have kind of moved back into stage one as well. But again, the overall trend really is still down, I think. And the really the bulls have to prove more here than the bears, that, you know, we need to see more stocks breaking out. We need to see more sectors emerging and breaking out to have more confidence that this could turn around and move back into a bull market. And I don't think we're really seeing that yet. There's been a little bit of better action recently. One of the recent sectors that I've looked at is the solar stocks. There's a couple of leaders there that have been acting well, but it's just really not enough to say that the coast is clear yet in this bear market. And, you know, if you take a look at 2020, for example, when we came out of that kind of panic, there was quite a few stocks that really started acting well in late March, early April. So we're not really seeing that yet in this bear market.
So again, when we look at the broad market indices, we're still in that stage four decline where the indices are trading below a declining 30-week moving average with this rally that we've seen, this year-end rally since October, mid-October. We are seeing them climb back up to the 30-week moving average. It's questionable at this point whether or not we would transition from stage four to stage one, which would be a basing pattern. But from your vantage point, you know, one of the things that you're looking at to see if we do see that transition is how much volume we see coming into certain sectors for leadership. We're really not seeing that at this point, it sounds like. So there's still a pretty weak, let's say the downtrend still seems fairly well established. Given that we are in this stage four decline, as you discussed with us earlier this year as well, that appears to be the case. You know, what would you be looking at for a bottom? And particularly, how would you be using your stage analysis screener to know where to put capital?
Sure, that's a great question. I think you need to go back to, are stocks breaking out on volume? Is there a new leading sector emerging? And when you're looking at the stage analysis screener, you're going to want to see, if you look at the transitions page, for example, that shows you stocks that recently are moving into one of the four stages. You're going to want to see a large number of stocks moving into stage two. And if you look at the volume column on the screener, it should be above one, which indicates that the weekly volume is coming in higher than the average weekly volume. So that would indicate that institutions are pouring money into stocks that are starting to potentially power the market higher. And right now, what we've seen is a lot of stocks have moved into stage one, which indicates that they're starting to kind of base out and they've rallied back to the 30-week moving average, but we're still not seeing the further push into stage two that you kind of need to really get back into that bull market and end the bear market. So it's like we've rallied back to the 30-week moving average and we've had a little bit of a rally, but we're just not seeing the power that the bulls are taking over and that, you know, there's a new bull market coming. So, and you should be able to, if you look at the weeks column, that tells you how long a stock has been in stage two. You should see a lot of stocks in a low number of weeks, maybe like within 1 to 5 weeks in stage two, they're starting to move higher. And again, that shows you that there's more stocks in a new uptrend versus there's a lot of stocks right now that have been in stage four for quite a long time because they're still continuing to trend lower below the 30-week moving average. So I think it's like we need that further push. We need to see the volume. We need to see a new leading sector. You should be able, if you go to the markets page and you sort by stage two, that shows you what percentage of stocks in a particular sector are in stage two. And like when a new stage two uptrend starts, that percentage might be on the lower end, but then there should be some stocks taking big volume that are, you know, emerging in that sector. And then eventually as the stage two matures, you'll see like a higher percentage of stocks in that sector in stage two, because the bull market has dragged everything higher with it. So right now there's a lot of stocks in the oil and gas sector that are in stage two because it's been a leading sector for a while, but you know, the market's constantly changing and we just talked about how they could actually be rolling over here. So it's, I guess you have to look at it from what's currently happening and then, you know, in the context of where the market is overall and its longer term trend.
What are your thoughts when you look at gold and silver? This has been an area, it saw a really strong move. Obviously, metals performed really nicely initially in 2020 and then have been underperforming and getting dragged down compared to, you know, energy and commodities. Do you see any signs of basing there currently?
Yeah, that's actually a great thing to look at, because if you look at silver, for example, silver starting in July started to base sideways as the US dollar was continuing to move higher for the next few months. So that was a notable non-confirmation that the rally in the US dollar was not pushing silver prices much lower, you know, and so it formed this little basing pattern. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a push higher in the precious metals mining stocks and the metals. Now, the volume on this move, though, has not been tremendous, especially in the metals. And that's really not a good sign to see because, again, a stage two uptrend is typically ignited by powerful volume coming into the market. So that's not a good sign to see, but the divergence is good to see from a bullish perspective. The miners did take a little bit more volume, but still not the explosive kind that would typically ignite stage two. One other thing to note is that since these, you know, the metals have recently had a stage four decline, now they have overhead resistance, which means that there's recent price action above the current level. And typically a market needs really powerful volume where it needs time to consolidate to kind of overcome the resistance, because the resistance is where sellers are going to want to try to get back to even as the market moves higher. So there's only a couple of ways the market can really clear that out. So I think given these factors and the fact that the US dollar might be able to rally back higher here, I think the metals are more likely to just continue to consolidate and maybe build a larger base and perhaps break out again at a later time, like when the dollar might not be as ready to rally. So that's kind of how I'd view precious metals here. But again, like the fact that they acted so strong as the dollar recently rallied, that's a good sign from a bullish perspective.
Okay. So metals are in a stage one basing pattern, but they're not yet showing any signs of a long-term bottom and transition into a stage two uptrend at this point. So you're thinking we're probably still looking at a longer consolidation before we move into a stage two uptrend, if that is something that we're going to see in the months ahead.
Yeah, that's correct.
What's interesting is obviously a lot of capital got stolen from the metals market into crypto, and crypto's really seen a pretty massive shock to confidence lately with the FTX blow up. I'm sure you've been following that. Mm-hmm. It's been garnering a lot of attention. Bringing this back to metals, though, when you've seen crypto, which garnered so much capital for a while, and stealing that probably from metals as an alternative to fiat currencies, right? When it sees this level of shock, I wonder if some of that capital is going to now move back into metals.
I think that's a great observation. Actually, this is the first time in a while where the metals are starting to move into a different stage and crypto is lagging now, like you said. So crypto is still in stage four, but the metals are perhaps moving into stage one more here and taking a little bit of volume on the upside. But crypto remains in stage four. There's been a huge amount of downside volume recently with the FTX disaster, like you said, and a lot of the crypto related stocks like Coinbase are starting to even break down through support here and continue to move lower. So it's like there is a divergence there between the metals and crypto. If you go back historically and look at 2019 in particular, the gold market broke out of a huge base on massive volume during that year. And crypto was only able to kind of rally briefly, and then it went sideways again because it was still kind of recovering from the 2017 blow off top, whereas gold was further along in its basing phase and broke out into a new uptrend again. So this has happened in the past where these asset classes have diverged from each other, and I think it is definitely happening here again. And one other thing is that crypto is going to have a ton of overhead resistance now, even if it is able to kind of consolidate eventually and get out of this bear market, whereas the metals have worked off more resistance because they've been in a longer term, like sideways basing phase and where they've pushed higher a little bit. So, you know, I think overall the metals are definitely positioned here to, you know, go back into a bull market first before crypto, which will be perhaps surprising to people that are focused mostly on crypto and not metals, but it's really the metals are in a better, you know, technical position here than crypto at this point.
Jeff Christian, who we've spoken with on our podcast just recently, and he's been reiterating this outlook for many years, thinks that starting next year over into about 2025 is when we're going to see that stage two strong bullish uptrend resume in the metal space for a confluence of factors. But he thinks that the next 2 years are basically going to be lining up for a good period for metals outperformance.
If you look at silver in particular, the The basing action in silver has gone on for 9 years now. If you started at like 2013 and the price of silver kind of continued lower until 2016 from there, but then this overall structure is now 9 or 10 years long. And if silver rallies back up to the mid 20s and starts to consolidate from there, it could really be into a good position to make a big move higher, because you're going to have a huge base with no overhead resistance that's finally been cleared out from the 2011 bear market. I would definitely look for the metals if they continue to kind of consolidate here and into next year and maybe the year after that, they're going to be in position to break out again. The cryptocurrencies, on the other hand, if you look at what happened in 2017, it took 3 to 4 years for Bitcoin to consolidate after that big rally in 2017. And then it broke out again in 2020 and had a massive run to 60-some thousand dollars. And now we've crashed back down to, you know, the $16,000 level. There's huge amounts of overhead resistance now. So it could take Bitcoin, you know, years to consolidate again before it's ready to take out that resistance. Because there's going to be so many people that are want to get back to even that have, you know, kind of lost money because they bought too high in the previous rally. So I think they're very different markets at this point. And, you know, crypto is just not in position to move back higher here. We could still be in a potential crash scenario in crypto where a lot of these cryptocurrencies might end up, you know, not existing anymore because there's so many of them and they're all in stage four. So a similar thing happened to the internet stocks in the 2000 bull market. You know, there was so many companies that came public that the market wasn't able to, you know, sustain all of them as the bear market evolved, and then they all just went out of business. So the same thing might be happening in crypto here, even as we speak.
Yeah, from the research that I've looked at, there's about a 3.5 year cycle for Bitcoin. And given that we just went through, you know, that last major peak that we saw late last year. So, you know, basically that was kind of a leading indicator for the growth sector of the market as a whole, right? When we saw Bitcoin basically top out as where a lot of the hot money had been chasing. And then that downtrend started, but it peaked November of last year. So if we see that historical about 3.5 year cycle or so play out, as again, according to the research that I've been looking at, some analysis of people that follow this space closely, you know, we could be looking at another 3 years or so before we see another high. In which case, if Bitcoin and crypto is underperforming over that time, and it's just the confidence has been so badly shaken that it's going to take, you know, another 2 to 3 years to restore that confidence, as many crypto industry experts are now saying that we should expect after this recent FTX collapse. You know, maybe that is a period where we see more confidence being built in the metal sector. So a good scenario to keep in mind. And obviously we want to consider Jeff Christian's long-term analysis and outlook that he's had in place for next couple years. Justin, as we close, any areas of the market that we didn't touch upon today that you are particularly, you know, keying your eyes on through your stage analysis screener, or any last comments before we close out today's interview?
Yeah, I would say if you look at technology, for example, it continues to underperform in this current market. And that's another thing that happens during bear markets is technology tends to underperform. You know, you're just not seeing the type of action that you want to see for a new bull market to start. So I would just continue to be patient with this current market. One of the assets I would definitely follow would be the U.S. dollar. You can definitely use the stage analysis screener to do that. If you go to the indexes page and then click on ETFs, this page is broken down into a lot of these main key sectors across the market. So the U.S. dollars is represented by UUP. I would keep an eye on that, because once this bear market's over, the U.S. dollar is probably going to roll back over into stage four, and then we'll be able to see new asset classes emerge. But until that happens, you know, the market might be under pressure. So, you know, the stage analysis screener could help you navigate through this kind of, you know, turmoil in the market. And if you definitely want to get a bigger handle on stage analysis, check out my website at nextbigtrade.com. The stage analysis page gives a really good description of the system. And I've written a lot of articles over the years talking about the system and how it applies to the market at different timeframes. So there's a lot of information there, and I'm always willing to answer questions too. You can email me at justin@nextbigtrade.com, or I'm also on Twitter at nextbigtrade.
All right, perfect. Well, again, we've been speaking with Justin Smyth at nextbigtrade.com, and I'll have links out to a number of different articles, including the how stage analysis works, if you want to dive into that a little bit more, see some visuals of the charts and how this works, some examples with particular stocks, of course, and some of the rules that you can follow, all of which, you know, we touched upon in today's interview. But again, in summary, the broad market indices still appear on in a stage analysis perspective that we're in a stage four well-defined downtrend, where the market indices are trading below a declining 30-week moving average. With this recent rally, the year-end rally, we are getting back close to that 30-week moving average, but we're not seeing strong volume and breakouts that would seem to convey the idea that we're moving from a stage four downtrend to a stage one basing pattern. That is something that we should be on watch for, but yet, given what we discussed, that still seems like a less likely scenario, in which case you want to be playing the market more on the defensive side. If you are a long-term investor, that means holding higher than average amounts of cash. If you're a short-term aggressive trader, then that would probably be being on the short side of the market. And, you know, I think as we were discussing in the latter part of this interview, given the massive hit that we've seen to the crypto space and the shock of confidence that we're now seeing ripple through with cross contagion within crypto, perhaps we're going to be looking at another couple years here of outperformance in metals as some of that hot money that had been chasing crypto rotates back into the metal space. Keep your eye on the dollar. And again, you can follow all of the things that we discussed and some of these trends, breakouts or transitions, at nextbigtrade.com. Well, Justin, I want to thank you for coming onto our show again, giving our listeners an update, and we definitely look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.